Welcome to another broadcast of Health Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you this day, this afternoon. I pray that God is with you in a special way and that He moves through this broadcast to meet your need in this hour. Before we get started too deeply into the broadcast, I want to remind everyone to visit us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the end of help as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, you can find us on iTunes and download all the broadcasts free of charge for your listening pleasure. So, we've been talking about a really unaddressed issue of African-American mothers dealing with the African-American sons in the single-parent household setting. And I believe that it cries out to the heavens that this issue be addressed, that mom be afforded tools, that she be equipped with the tools that she needs to develop and raise her African-American son, who is lost in statistical devastation. I was a jail chaplain for many years, and our kids fill the jails. They do. They fill the jails. They fill the streets. They don't fill corporate America. They don't fill colleges. And 50% of us are dropping out of high school. And it is said that the African-American male is on the verge of becoming extinct. And I can understand that. We seem to be, even as a lost people, we seem to be floundering on the edge of extinction. And I believe that where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. And so there is an abounding grace forwarded to the African-American son. And I believe that this is his hour. I believe that that's why that some of the greatest persons in the world are now African-American, from the greatest preachers, the greatest athletes, and now even the greatest politician. And so God's forwarding His grace. And this is the hour of your African-American son. So take hope in Him. Take hope that God is an abounding grace that can make a difference in your son's life. And so don't fall prey to feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, because so often that's what tends to happen. Some of you, as you raise your African-American sons, and if you listen to the first broadcast, we talk about some of the best ways of disciplining him and preparing him through the disciplinary process for his future. And we talked about if you start off just beating him out of impatience, just beating him and trying to beat some sense into him, that hardly ever works, that it teaches him that the strongest one is the one that calls the shots, that the strongest one is the one that's in control, and he's the one that makes the rules. And he runs his life that way, and what becomes really a prison environment. And it trickles down from our ancestors being bound by slavery. And so what I often see happen is that moms, you will begin to try to change your child. You'll see the path that he's on, and you'll apply a massive amount of pressure to change him from the path that he's on, and then he bows up at you, he bucks you, now he's bigger than you, now he's stronger than you, and you see that you have no control over him. And so you resign yourself to hoping for the best for the boy, even though you see the path that he's on. But there's rarely a feeling of powerlessness, as if when you see your own boy traveling down the road of ultimate and utter destruction. That's a terrible feeling of powerlessness. It's a terrible feeling of hopelessness. And you got the statistics that feed your sense of hopelessness, because statistically, the African-American son is not prospering. Statistically, the African-American son is devastated. Statistically, your African-American son is failing and he's not surviving. But there is hope, because God has a plan for your African-American boy. He's got a plan. We're going to open up some of the ways and some of the approaches that will best serve you in your single parenting effort. And understand, first off, accept that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. That means God gives extra power, extra wisdom, extra help to make up the difference for what you don't have. And what you don't have in this day and age is daddy. Because it said that half of all African-American kids now live in a home without their dad. It has become uncommon to see a young girl pushing a baby stroller and wearing a wedding ring. But be that as it may, yes, this is the state of affairs as it is, but there is hope. And we're going to talk about that there are ways. There are ways that God has given wisdom, He's given grace, and He's given power to make up the difference. And so we're going to discuss some of those ways. We're going to talk about what some of those ways look like. We're going to open up to you and adorn you, Mother, with tools that you might have what you need to do what you do. And I touched on some of the things yesterday, but I'm going to speak more deeply into some of those topics. And I talked a lot about protecting your word. Oh, Mother, if you could learn to protect your word. We're going to pick up where we left off from yesterday. If you could learn to protect your word, for once you protect your word, okay, once you protect your word, it will be all you really need. Mom, listen to me. It'll be all you really need to raise your African-American son and to give him the best chance to not fail, to give him the best chance of success dealing with what he has to deal with all the pressures and the pulls and the peer pressures and the lures and all the lures, all the wrong things that his young, undeveloped brain, his undeveloped brain looks at with a distorted, undeveloped point of view and forms wrong conclusions. But there are ways of dealing with that. And it has to be, first and foremost, learning to protect your word. And as I discussed yesterday, the dads tend to be disciplinarians. Moms tend to be nurturers. Isn't that right? Daddy's the one that tells you to get on your feet. Mom wants to kiss your boo-boo. You know, Mom, if someone hits you at school, Mom tells you to go tell the teacher. Dad says, boy, you better hit that boy back. You know, and he develops in the boy that sense of manhood. He develops in that boy something that Mom can't touch. But by the same token, he's the one that forms the restraints and the boundaries that keeps that boy from going too far. Okay? And so we first off want to pick up where we left off and talk about a little more of what it means to protect your word. Now, tell if you've seen this before. You see a mom with a little boy hollering at him, warning him he's about to get his little butt tanned. And what happens is the reason that mom is screaming is because she doesn't want to do it. And so she hopes to use sheer intimidation and sheer fear to dissuade him from continuing on the course that will demand her discipline. But she doesn't want to have to do it. And so she fusses instead. Okay? And she fusses and she fusses and fusses until suddenly she blanks out and wears that little boy's behind out. Okay? And mostly it's because she's unsettled with the idea of hurting her baby boy because she loves him. She's unsettled with him. And so she screams at him and shouts at him and hoops and hollers at him in an effort to keep him from having to get spanked. And let me tell you, Mother, I know you mean well in this, but it's not teaching them boundaries, you see, because what happens is you end up beating him instead of spanking him. Remember, as we talked about yesterday, there is a difference between beating and spanking. When you beat, you do it out of your anger and out of your upset. Spanking is done strategically and for corrective purposes, okay? And so it's important, it is imperative to protect your word. What that means is, when you tell that boy, stop, do not do this, and he does it, you must discipline him, okay? After you've warned him, you must discipline him. Don't wait until you've come to wit's end and you end up going off on the boy, because then you end up beating him, and that more goes along with teaching that boy that the biggest one is in control, and the biggest one has the power. The biggest one calls the shots, and as we talked about before in times past, as he sees himself becoming bigger than you and getting stronger than you, he'll begin to bow up at you and get in your face, and then typically, moms, you'll back off. And then that's when you fall back, you fall into a sense of powerlessness and hoping for the best. And so it begins and ends, not when you're upset. The first thing you have to do is set your heart on your child. Now, moms, this is important because what happens is you're hurting. And you didn't mean to get pregnant, and you love your baby boy. You would die for your baby boy, but you weren't ready to have babies. You had other plans. You had other needs, and you were trying to be loved. You were trying to find love, and you found it in the wrong place. And so now, instead of getting a husband, you find yourself instead with a baby's daddy. You're still wounded and you're still focused because you're still needing to be loved. And so as such, you can be distracted with trying to salvage some of your youth, with trying to salvage some of your life. And often it can be done at the expense of losing focus and allowing your hurts and your needs to come before your sons. And so I would admonish you to remember your son and to keep your focus on him and not to react to him. When you find yourself reacting to your African-American son, it is an indication that you've lost perspective, that your eyes are distracted by your own pain, that your attention is distracted by your own hurts and by your own search for love, by your own search for peace, that if possible, to salvage your life. And so I would admonish you, and I would encourage you to focus on your boy, to keep him first. You can gauge within yourself whether you've lost perspective and you're distracted by your own pain by if you react to him instead of respond to him. When he begins to cross clear lines and clear boundaries that you've taught him better than, and you're finding that instead of disciplining him, you'll beat him, you'll react in anger, then you know that it's a simple matter that you've lost perspective. It's time to go pray. It's time to have a talk with Jesus and to do what I call re-perspectivize. It's a little word that I've made up. You won't find it anywhere in the dictionary, but it'll be time at that point to re-perspectivize and to refasten your eyes and to refasten your attention back on your African-American son. So then when he crosses it, you're waiting for it. If you're noticing a tendency to cross certain boundaries that you've laid out, warning him is just teaching him to see how far he can go. Warning him when you should be disciplining him is simply teaching him to press the boundaries to see how far he can go. You see, it teaches him to disrespect the boundaries. No, it is important that you establish firmly within your heart that when he crosses the boundaries, after they're firmly established and he knows about the boundaries, don't beat him in anger. Don't react after you've waited for him to do it time and again on the first go around. After the boundaries are firmly and fitly established, it is important that you discipline your boy. Now, that discipline doesn't necessarily have to come in the form of a spanking, but it must come the removal of a toy, perhaps the timeout or the restriction time. There are many things that you can do. If your kids are gamers, or your kids love their phones, you hit them right there at the jugular vein, okay? You hit them right there. It doesn't have to be a lot of hooping and hollering. They'll just learn that when they cross that boundary, that there is a consequence. And oh, child of God, oh dear mommy, if a child can learn that he's responsible for his actions, that if he can learn that there's a consequence for his actions, you teach him responsibility. That's right. The baby's father's not there now because he never learned responsibility. So when you teach him accountability, you actually teach him responsibility. When you teach that boy accountability, you're teaching him responsibility. And once he's responsible for something, his whole persona changes. You develop within that boy character and some of the tools he's going to need to have a decent life for himself and to treat someone who the Lord would send him decently, and how to be responsible for his actions and responsible for how he treats people and even the feelings that he steps on. But if you holler and you hoop because you don't want to discipline, then what you're doing is you are in fact teaching him to push the boundaries, to see how far he can go. You're teaching him to make it about himself and to not be respectful and to try to press what he wants until something gives. And that's what the kids do today. That's what our African-American sons do now. They're real charismatic. They're real charming. And they push and push until they get what they want. And then they're not responsible. Isn't that how your African-American son was born? Isn't that the behavior you've seen in the African-American boy that you thought you loved? And you see it every day. They push and they push, and they're not respectful of the boundaries. When they're not respectful of the boundaries, that means they never learn to be respectful of someone else's feelings. They never learn to be respectful of someone else's values and someone else's point of view. It becomes all about them. And so they become blind and insensitive to those around them, to those that should matter. And so, even as I'm saying this, and even as I'm opening this up, some of you can name a laundry list of boys as long as your arm that you've seen that in. And many of them you've had the misfortune of being acquainted with and being victimized by and having your heart broken by. And you're very familiar with that profile, with that kind of person. Well, this is how he's made. This is how that boy, that person is created by a reluctant disciplinarian mother who does not want to hurt her child, who loves her baby, but has reacted to that child instead of responding to the situation. She has lost perspective because of her own pain. This is not a criticism against you at all, Mommy, because you're in this alone. It takes parents, para meaning two. It takes two, and you're having to bear up under the weight of raising that kid all your own. You live a life of desperation trying to find peace whithersoever that you can, in the arms of whosoever you can. And you didn't do this to yourself. You found yourself here. You didn't realize the path that you were on. So we're talking about, not as a criticism, but to equip you, to show you, to follow the breadcrumbs back and to see what happened so that you don't end up allowing your son, your beloved baby boy, to grow up to be the same kind of personality. And so teach him to respect the boundaries by looking for him to cross the boundaries. Doesn't matter how far ago he goes across. I always say it's easier to take down a tree when it's still a little plantling. It's harder when it's a full-grown tree. So when he first starts sucking his teeth at you, when he first starts rolling his eyes at you, if you think it's cute and you allow it to pass, you've taught him to be insensitive and disrespectful to others. And what kind of a person he's going to be? What kind of a person he's going to be to your grandkids? Are you even going to get to know your grandkids? Is he going to be ready for a wife? Is he going to be able to hold down a job and to live in the real world? And see, this little issue of respect has to do with everything. Because if that kid doesn't learn respect, then he's not going to be able to live, much less thrive, anywhere. And that's part of the power that you wield, Mama. You wield the power of teaching him that. So you draw the boundaries. When he crosses the boundaries, you be waiting for him. You know what you're trying to raise. You know the ideal person that you want to raise. So when he crosses over, you be there to meet him out of love. You don't have to hoop. You don't have to holler. But make sure you're there with discipline. And if he continues, then you have to think about spanking the boy. If he doesn't listen, if he doesn't respond to some of the disciplines of restriction and taking away, then you might have to pull out the rod to teach him to appreciate the restrictions and the loss of privileges, okay? And so it's a very thoughtful thing that you're doing when you're raising your kid. It's something that you have to consider and to give time and thought and prayer regarding, and to not just do it by the seat of your pants. Because the old adage used to go, well, they don't give you a manual to raise them. But now there are manuals everywhere, okay? Now you can understand what you're doing and how and why. So protecting your word, the most important thing, protect your word. Because if you protect your word, you minimize all the bad stuff. If he breaks it, he's got to fix it. When he crossed the line, you got to call the brother out, and you got to deal with the boy. You've got to discipline him, and you hold to your guns. You don't give repeated warnings over and over and over until you explode and go off on the boy, reacting to him. No, you respond by, you look for him. You see he has a tendency to cross the line here, to break boundaries here, to go out of boundaries here, in this place here. So you wait on him there. You wait on him so he crosses over, and you give an appropriate disciplinary measure. Okay, and then you keep doing it every time he does it, remembering that the discipline itself is not what changes him, but it's the consistency that whenever he crosses it, he's held accountable. And as a result, he learns accountability, which teaches him a responsibility. Oh, come on, child of God. Come on, Mommy, and hear me out here. But meanwhile, you're praying and you're allowing God's grace to move in that boy's heart and to teach him and to talk to him and to show him things in the dreams and to soften his heart. Meanwhile, you leave the standard up. If he crosses the line, then he's out and he must pay for what he's broken. He must be responsible. He must be held accountable. Accountability is key because accountability teaches the child responsibility and to be responsible for his actions. To be responsible for what he says and how he treats people, and teaches that boy respect. And so protect your word, Mama. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. Do not, mama, do not give repeated warnings over and over and over, because you're teaching him something when you're not disciplining him. You're teaching him manipulation. You're teaching him self-centeredness. You're teaching him that it's all about him, that mercy is not helping. There's a time for mercy, and I love the show Mercy because it's a time that it makes for a great point, and it augments the relationship and teaches the boy appreciation. But there's a time that mercy is inappropriate. There's a time that mercy does not help. That doesn't mean when you're not showing mercy that you're reacting in anger. No, the Bible says, for who the Lord loves, he rebukes and disciplines. For who the Lord loves, he rebukes and disciplines. Therefore, when you discipline your boy, it's out of love's sake. Now, one of the things I like to do, even when it comes to spankings, and my mom did this with me, is I'll talk to the child. I'll talk to him, and I'll talk to my boy, and I'll tell him what's happening, what's going on, why I'm spanking him, and then I'll go ahead and give him his licks. And then I'll set him on my knee, and I'll pray with him. He'll pray with me. And the experience creates a stronger bond between father and son, and between mother and son. This is the way my mother did me. She sat me down. She talked to me, told me why I was being disciplined. She disciplined me. Then we prayed together. And it created a much stronger bond, and it taught me accountability unto responsibility. Okay? And so, moms, I know this is hard for you to hear, but if you can hear it, you will save your son. You will save your son. You will save your boy who's statistically devastated, who's not surviving, who's not making it. Project, look down the path of your child is on, and you can see where he's headed. Now, if the child is older and you haven't raised him that way, and you did in fact hoop and holler, it's not too late for you, mama. You can still begin to draw the line through what I call the negotiation of discipline. And it's a little term that I made up. You bring him back in little at a time. You start making him accountable for his actions. You take away those privileges. You give him consequences. And you start off light. And you make it stronger and stronger. And you don't get into a fussing match. You don't get into a hollering match. If he crosses those boundaries, there has to be a consequence. And mom, you got to hold up, because right now, in this broadcast, we talked about protecting your word. In the next broadcast, perhaps we should talk about rebuilding your word. And it begins with doing the same process. And I'll briefly maybe draw a picture as to what that looks like. You can't come on real strong and say, if it's gone too far and you've raised him differently, by the time the testosterone begins to flow, he's bigger than you and stronger than you, and now he's reaping in some of the old lessons that you taught him in ignorance, unaware of what you were teaching him. So now you get a revelation, you hear this podcast, and you begin to say, I want to do better. So then you begin to talk to them. You begin to establish relationship with him, and then you begin to discipline on small things, and you let that build up, because remember, you're still the boy's mama. You're still his mama. And he still needs you, okay? He needs you financially. He needs you the house that you provide for him. He needs you in so many different ways. He needs your moral support. He needs your love. He needs your respect. He still needs you. You're still his mama. So you work that, and you begin to rebuild your word. Actually do what you say you're going to do. Now, some of you, it might be difficult, so you take the time and you pray. You pray, mama. You pray. You begin to pray for that boy, and God will give you the grace to stand up to your son. I know so many moms that are so afraid of their sons because they don't know how to handle them. They're not aware that they taught the boy, that they had a hand in shaping that boy into being the rebel, that he's become an accident waiting to happen, a life waiting to implode unto himself and to explode onto other people. And they're not aware that they did. But you can rebuild, mama. You can do it. As you pray, God will give you the grace and God will give you the courage. You begin to take privileges. You begin to give restrictions. You begin to work the leverage that you can. And at first, she's going to act like, it's nothing, I don't need this, this is no big deal. He's supposed to act like that. You taught him to act that way. But you become consistent, and you snowball, and you become stronger, and you continue doing the same thing, and then you take as much ground as you can, and God will restore it. Meanwhile, you're talking to him. You're redeveloping the relationship. You're speaking to him, connecting to him, reminding him, and so doing, reminding him who you are in his life, despite of your mistakes, Mama. Some of you have made so many mistakes that you feel like you can't say anything. You're still his mama. Don't make the mistake of thinking that your kindness will remind him that you're mama. That's not what's going to do it. I always say, where there's no respect, there can be no love. For that love to flourish between you and anyone, there must be rooted and based and grounded in respect. And respect is when you make your stand. It doesn't have to be ugly. Mom, don't treat them like someone in the street. Because some of you, when you first learn this and try to make your stand, you start cussing at him and hollering at him and hooping at him, and you're not going to garner his respect that way. You're going to have to make your stand. When he crosses the boundary, you require there be a discipline for it. Even if it's just you're not going to cook that night, he can have peanut butter and jelly. You start with where you can, and don't be dissuaded and discouraged from where you're not, because you can begin to snowball and to grow up and rebuild your word. Oh, child of God, you can rebuild your word. Meanwhile, you're talking to him. You're not nagging him, okay? You're not nagging him and putting pressure on him to do what you want him to do, because then you fall back into the other arena. No, if he crosses it, if he crossed the line, you draw a boundary. What he breaks, he pays for. Meanwhile, you're talking to him about what he's doing and where it's headed, because let me tell you something. As he gets out in the street, he is scared, okay? He is scared. He has to look over his shoulder now. He's on the street. Anything could happen at any time. He's had at least a half a dozen to a dozen friends that have been shot down, and things happen. Half his friends get thrown into jail. All those boys out there selling drugs and doing all that, he's watching them fall one at a time. And so he is scared, and he is reachable if you can talk to him. If you can communicate to him without trying to pressure him, without trying to coerce him, without trying to force him to do what you feel like he should do. You take your time, and you communicate to him heart to heart, and you lay down, you build your word. If he breaks it, you make him fix it. You make him responsible. You make him accountable for it, okay? You make him accountable for the word that he's broken by giving a consequence, by making a consequence. And you build from there. And if he breaks it from there, you don't give up. Mama, don't give up. Don't give up. Continue on there, because he needs you. Oh, we're going to talk more about this. I hate to end right now, but our time has gotten past us. But I want to remind everyone again to visit us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102 and leave us a comment there and like us there. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you a great afternoon, and God bless.